Welcome back to Soccer Card United. It's time for episode 178 of the greatest soccer card podcast in the world. My name is Jason. That's Enzo. Hi, Enzo.
Hello, Jason.
How are you?
Great.
Great. We had another big weekend in the Soccer Card United history books.
Hiya.
It was the second Dublin trade night.
Wow.
So we were back in the Camden Court Hotel on the south side of Dublin City.
Back in the capital.
For some buying, selling, trading, and having the crack.
Mischief.
Some mischief.
Some spin the wheels.
Yeah.
Wheels were spun.
So we had our first trade night maybe in May. Was it May or it was April or something?
May.
And then back we go this time.
Yeah.
And first decision we made, which I want to get your feedback on.
Okay.
Was to tighten up the hours.
We tightened up the hours. Had to be done.
So instead of, what was it, 9 till half 5 or something?
Yes, 9 till 5:30.
It was 10 till 4.
Yeah, we tightened it up.
And what was your immediate feedback on that?
Good.
Feel good about that?
Yeah, feel good about that. Only because last time some people was like, oh, it's on till half 5, so I'll come at 3.
Yeah, and you know, other people are like finished by 3.
Yeah, so. People are like, I'll come at 10 and I'll leave at 2:30, half 2 or 3 or whatever. So like, yeah, we're like, we tightened it up. Everyone's basically here at the same time, pretty much.
I think it's a... It's always a sign of a good event when you hear, like, you know, this is your, the event will close in 30 minutes. Mm. And you go like, oh, that's a sign of a good event.
Yeah.
It's not, you don't want to kind of be like, geez, it's on for another hour, is it?
Yeah.
That's never good.
Never good.
So that was good.
I thought the pastries this time around were better. And they were great the first time. And I was sad to lose the croissants because they were, I was looking forward to those.
Yeah, mini croissants.
But the little custard things, were, I love custard.
Yeah, I like custard as well.
Well,
custard's the official
pastry
filling of Soccer Card United.
Yeah, I would like to talk to that. Like, if we do it there again for the third time, I want to say, hey, I don't know if you have pastry of the day, because, I mean, it was Saturday last time, Saturday this time, so I don't know what you're doing with the pastries, but when we're coming to town...
Custard, please.
Please, more of that custard.
So, I guess people are wondering, why are they talking about pastries? We should say that both times we've done our trade night, when we booked the venue, because we're doing it in a hotel conference rooms, they have, like, catering options.
Of course.
And so, both times we've selected a morning break with
tea, coffee,
and pastries.
Yes.
And we kind of did it the first time, thinking, like, this would be a nice touch.
Yeah.
You know, now listen, it's paid for. And tickets are free, so...
Yeah. So hold on. So we're paying for the coffee, tea, pastries,
just because
tickets are free?
Natural sense of hospitality from the lads.
Yeah, that's nice.
So we did it the first time. People were like, oh, this is great.
We're great.
And second time, chatting to Niall about 10 o'clock. And he goes, when are the pastries getting here? I didn't have any breakfast.
Come on.
How quickly people become comfortable.
Very comfortable.
You know?
Skipping breakfast because he knows he's about to get a load of... And he took enough pastries.
So first time, people are like, oh, there's tea and coffee and stuff. It's great.
Yeah, wow.
Second time, people are like, when's tea and coffee getting here?
Yeah, when's it coming? I'm actually just here for that. I don't even have cards. I heard there's free pastry.
Yeah.
With custard inside.
So...
Shocking.
Shocking stuff.
But shout out to us for that.
Shout out to us for that, yeah.
That was nice.
How are you feeling about... the next Dublin trade night?
Feeling good. Like, I think we have enough scope now to give enough notice on it, because that was a 10-day notice one, because we realized we were in Frankfurt and Copenhagen. And it was basically like, oh, we either do it now or we do it like mid to late September, and we're like, shit, let's just do it now. So 10 days notice, and it was really good. I was very happy with the turnout. So I'm thinking the next one we need to pick in advance, which is very hard to do with our schedule, but pick in advance. And actually, the problem is, I don't know if you pick it in advance, do it somewhere else and try to get more people to it, or if you pick it in advance, I don't know.
Because
I don't know, like, the angle.
There is kind of a...
Because, like, the room is pretty much at capacity.
Pretty
like,
much.
When we were at the peak of the people in the room, there wasn't really space for more people.
No.
Although I do think a sign of a good trade night is people on the floor. People have not been on the floor in a Soccer United trade night.
Yeah.
Although I don't know if that makes it a good trade. To be honest, I never deal with the people on the floor, but you know what I mean.
It's
normally there's not enough tables for everyone.
It's tough, isn't it? I mean, I'm sure we could go, maybe we could go to a bigger space within the same venue or something. I don't know, we could discuss that off air.
I'd like to keep it in the same venue just for the pastry.
Just for the pastry.
Yeah, if we're moving somewhere else, they need to have good pastry options.
they at least have to have one custard filled pastry option.
Yeah, otherwise what are we doing?
Yeah.
Another kind of key part of our Dublin Trade Night is that we take submissions for SGC and PSA.
Oh yeah, how did that go this time?
And it went crazy. I had my brother on the table for most of it, but at the end of the day, I seen a huge stack of cards that almost scared me.
Right.
Mostly for PSA.
Yeah.
Terrifying. And people were also messaging, multiple people messaged, say, can I just ship some stuff? Like, are you basically just doing grading services now? Like, can I ship it to you? I can't make it. Someone was like, can't make it to this Trade Night. Was that the last one? Can I just ship you my cards? And I was like, can they? And I was like, I don't know. I don't think so. Like, you technically can.
I suppose you could, but the thing is, like, then...
What are we doing? Because now it's like, are we just open to receiving shipments from people for submissions? I don't think we are. So, I don't know. I'm confused. I should just refer them to the grading club.
Yeah.
So, there's actually a guy that does this. We just kind of offer it as a kind of nice... like, kind of like the pastries.
Yeah, I see. I think originally it's like, okay, we have to... you know, because you can be the most confident Trade Night host in the world, but every Trade Night host, every event host has to think to themselves, are people going to come? So the first time it's like, right, let's offer these grading submission things to get people in the door. And the second time it's kind of like, I guess we better do that again. And the third time you start to wonder, you know, it's almost like it goes from you offering it as a service, as an extra service, to now it's expected. So now you have to try and, you know, and the expectations just keep getting bigger and bigger, and eventually you're running a submission service.
Maybe that's how it happens.
Mm.
Just, I can't hear you in my headphones.
You can't hear me in your headphones?
No. I only realized that recently.
Okay, let me pause and we'll start again. Not start again, but we'll come back.
Oh.
And we're back.
Yeah, at that point you're just a submission service, and I don't know if that's what we are, and we're definitely not necessarily trying to become that, unless PSA wanted to give us unbelievable rates, at which point we would just be a submission service for our own cards at great rates.
Interesting. Yeah. Another thing that we did the first time, we did the second time, was the spin the wheel, as you mentioned.
Yes.
This time we went from a
digital
spin the wheel to a physical spin the wheel.
Whoa.
And the thing about the digital spin the wheel was it kind of spontaneously became this thing where it's like, right, everyone's going to spin the wheel now.
Yeah.
Because we kind of, it wasn't like you wander up and you spin the wheel. It was like, because I had to hook up the laptop and everything. I was like, right, going to hook this up.
It's spin the wheel time.
We're going to go around the room. Every single person's going to spin the wheel. And then after that, the spin the wheel's been put away and that's the end of it.
Okay.
Then that was kind of like a bit strange. So I was like, let's get a physical spin the wheel. Got the physical spin the wheel. And I think people enjoyed it more. It was more chill.
And like, what could you get in this spin the wheel?
If you spun the wheel, some of the options. You could win a Donruss Fat Pack.
Okay.
You could win a Leaf Soccer Blaster.
Okay.
A whole blaster, one autograph.
Yeah, one autograph guaranteed. Per blaster. Guaranteed, unlicensed.
You could win a 21-22 PSG team set.
Okay.
Whole team set.
Whole team set, you could get Messi, Mbappe, Neymar autographs in there.
Yeah. There was 22-23 PSG team set pack.
Okay. So you might, you know, you're spinning the wheel here.
There has to be different
tiers. Part of the wheel, like, could you spin the wheel and get nothing?
No.
Oh.
So you're guaranteed a prize.
And how much was it to spin the wheel?
Free.
Ah, look at them. They've done it again.
You just had to kind of...
You get to walk in for free. You get to spin the wheel for free. And you get free pastries and tea.
If you're there early enough.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
So that was good. Somebody won a pack of top loaders on the spin the wheel. And was delighted.
Because it's hard to get top loaders.
It's hard to get top loaders.
They were delighted. That would have been a sale of top loaders had they not won it on the wheel.
Mm.
That wheel is treacherous, let me tell you.
So that was good fun.
That was good. I managed to add one squirrel to my collection at the show.
Nice.
That made me happy.
Last time we had a good few Pokemon heads came along.
A big gang.
This time, not so much.
No. So apparently the first time it was thrown in the Discord, because we didn't promote Pokemon people. We're a sports card podcast over here. But yeah, it got thrown into a Discord and then a big gang of them just showed up. I would say this time, with less notice, it probably didn't end up in the Discord kind of a thing. But some of them from the first time did come, but obviously they had less of their friends there, so they were a bit like, oh, this isn't really a Pokemon event.
Yeah, also, That makes sense. Pokemon. I mean, eventually, like, there's no rule to not. It's not a sports card trade night. It's nope. listed as just Dublin just, trade night.
Yeah, just trade night of cards of any kind. But like, if someone walked in with a load of Magic the Gathering, how would we react? I wouldn't know how to help them.
Well, that would be
their problem.
That'd be their problem.
Wow, that's mean.
Now, if somebody came in with a load of Magic the Gathering cards and said, "I'm going to lay all these out on the table." Then it's kind of like...
It's our problem.
Then it's our problem. Because it's like, well, you're taking up a lot of real estate for something...
So the people in here aren't necessarily... Not that we know, but...
Yeah. It's very, very tough to manage that.
Yeah. But that's the ultimate beauty of a trade night. Like, you go to the National and just rock up the trade nights with a load of Magic Gathering and lash all over a table and just have a pint.
Yeah, that's your...
It's your business.
That's your business.
I guess it's trade night etiquette. Fascinating.
Did some deals. Got some deals done.
Got some deals done, as always.
Yeah. Thank you to everyone who came and did a deal with us.
Thank you to most people. I'll tell you this, Jason. A lot of people were trying to sell us their base Messi and Ronaldo's, but for £5.
Because you told them that that's what they were selling
for. We can sell them for £5, but it's like, if I get a table at a location and use my brand and my table and everything to be able to sell base cards for £5, that means I've grinded on a hustle to get £5 for a base card. If you're sitting in front of me, eating a pan au chocolat,
yeah, that you've paid for,
that I've paid for, and you're saying, "I'm looking for about £5 for that one," like, no, you're not. Where are you getting that? If I buy it off you for £5, what am I going to do?
Sell it for £5.
But stop.
At that point, you're just.
I think some people have to realize, and this is across the hobby. At the high
it's
end,
not specific to Ireland.
No, exactly. This is why, like, Card Collector 2, Ryan, can go to a table and buy someone, can go to a show and buy someone's entire table, but at a fairly discounted price. The person isn't going, "I know you're able to sell this for £10,000, but you're only offering me £7,000. It's like, yeah, you're getting offered to be cashed out £7,000. I think that's something that across the hobby needs to be almost humbled into people. That there is a very good value for getting cashed out.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
It's like, You don't have a right to liquidity. So if somebody's providing you with liquidity,
there needs to be some concessions.
Yeah. You have to reward the person who has the money. And what now obviously there are some situations in which that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like, but basically the rule is, if I'm asking, "Can I buy it from you?" Then it, like, I'm trying to think.
But it's like, if you have a super rare card and it's kind of like, you love it, it's hard to find, you are in control. You set a price, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But if someone comes over trying to buy 20 of your cards that are ultimately not anything, but they know, if I get 20 and I reduce the price, I can make something on it. You shouldn't be so married to the comps, I would say.
Yeah. And I like to think that we stick by that when we're selling. If you come over to us and you say, "You've put out this Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank autograph, how much is it?" And I say 30. And you say, "I'll give you 20. I can't go, "No, 30's.
Better again. This is a better example. If that's there for 30, and someone goes, "Right, if I buy this and I buy a Liverpool team set,
yeah,
would you do this for 15? Like, most times we'd be like, "Yeah."
Because we're getting liquidity. Are the ones that want to sell,
but we're also getting liquidity.
Yeah,
you're not just, if it's just one card transaction, you're well within your rights to be like, "Listen, there's no discounts on one card."
Yeah,
but if you're going up and taking a stack, you as a seller, especially like, even in a high end setting, like if you had a load of like 2018 Mbappe numbered cards at the National,
yeah,
graded, total value, call it like £12,000. You have a load of them, maybe you have a few, 10 or something, I don't know what they're, whichever, various numbers and whatever. If someone walks up to you at the National and says, "You know what, I want all 12 you don't say, "Well, the comps are equal to £12,000 you go, "If you take all 12 of these off me, I'll give them to you for 9 or 10 you know there's concessions across, like, and that's every sport, every, you know, and obviously it depends if the seller wants to sell or if to sell, because in some cases you could be like, "Mbappe's class, I'm going to sell these at some point and I'm not in a rush."
Yeah, if the so 12 that you have are the only 12 that anyone's going to find, then the fact that you're saying, "I'll take all your stock," is like, well,
anyone would. Yeah, it's like if someone had like some museum boxes on a table, you have two museum, and someone goes, "What's the best price on two?" and you're like, "I have two I'll sell
it. It's two, yeah.
That's the price. It's, so yeah. No discounts for this, for museum. But yeah, I don't know.
But I also think that's what you're talking about the Messi and Ronaldo's. That's a byproduct of you having a podcast.
Yeah.
You're coming on the show.
But like, if you told me you're selling Angel Correa's for 10 quid.
Yeah.
And then you're like, Enzo, you have 20 Angel Correa's. Can I buy them? Mm. I wouldn't go 200 quid.
Mm.
I'd give you a little discount.
Yeah,
and I'd also, more so, I'd be reaching out saying, guess what? I have some mad stuff.
Yeah.
Here's all my Angel Correa's and I'll do them for a good price. A lot of people did do that to us in the States. I think it just comes down to like genuine like hobby etiquette, business etiquette. It's something you kind of have to learn along the way. Like we had people selling us Bundesliga finest mini boxes really cheap. Because they just wanted to buy the national packs.
Mm.
Then they sold it to us really cheap. Like we were saying we could sell them probably for 40 and they were selling it to us for like $15. But like in that case, they were like, these guys are buying 16 boxes off me. I don't really care. I value cash. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. I had a good time.
I also think we're talking about like selling base cards or whatever for €5 in the Irish market to non-hobby heads.
Yes.
And it's like, I would encourage people, if you don't want to, like if you want to get €5 for it, go and set up at a market stall or something and sell them for €5.
Yeah.
It's like,
because that's how you get it.
That's how you get it. It's like kind of, I think there's a thing on it, which I see a lot in the hobby where it's like, well, we don't have to do this deal.
Yeah.
I think there's people that get like almost like, you know what, it's like
when you're in it, you're just in it until it's over.
Yeah, like when you're playing a Pokemon game and it's like a Pokemon appears and you're in the jewel.
Yeah.
And it's like you have to just complete the jewel.
Mm.
But you don't.
You can run.
You can just run. You just say, actually, do you know what? And at any point in the negotiation, you can go, let's just leave it.
Yeah, let's just stop.
And I rarely see anyone do that. People like will make mortal enemies of each other instead of just saying, right, we've both clearly gone down the road a little bit and haven't.
We're not getting there.
We're not getting there. It's not happening. Why don't we just shake hands and agree that this isn't the right deal for us? Instead of being like, no, I can't do it, you know, and then walk away going, he's a prick, man. Don't deal with him.
You know, he's horrible.
He's horrible. It's like, no, you both just round pegs, square holes, all that stuff. I don't know.
But I think, again, it just comes down to learning how to handle negotiations and deals.
And we're all learning together because in the European hobby, it's all quite new.
And in fairness, sometimes you maybe from watching YouTube videos and stuff, you feel like he's after offering me this, I have to counter. Otherwise, I've not done it right.
Mm.
You know, but it's about kind of knowing what you want for stuff as well in advance. There's a lot. I don't know. I find it fun. Every trade night we go to, every card show, there's always that going on.
Right. So that's that. Let's check in on a couple of products which have been out for a while. One is Merlin.
Merlin Chrome. Officially on the Soccer United website.
Oh, is it?
Right now. I haven't put it up, but by the time they're listening to this, wow. Yes. It's up.
Incredible.
Unless you put this podcast up very fast.
I certainly won't. Having a look at some sales from Merlin Chrome. There's all sorts of stuff going on here. Look at these. There's a Thomas Muller Sorcerer's Auto for 18 quid.
This Julian Alvarez, I don't know if that's real, but that seems crazy.
The R50 Gold Rookie for $700.
There's no way that was real. Surely. That's like an R10 price for him at the minute.
Yeah, that's strange.
But that's a good image. That's what I like about Merlin is we're getting different images, we're getting different design, but it still feels very chrome, very premium.
I see here's
an atomic
Omer Atzili for, I think that's Maccabi Haifa, or is it Maccabi Tel Aviv? It's one of the Maccabees. Maccabi Haifa. Why put the team name in the,
yeah, no one wants to type that,
please. So yeah, selling nicely, selling well. The mojos are back. Merlin's Masters. Yeah, there's a Fabio Cavaglio best offer accepted for 40, and obviously Julian Alvarez is streets ahead of Fabio Cavaglio, but that's a, I don't know about that sale.
Yeah, sales.
If somebody bought or sold that card, or know somebody that bought or sold that card, that Julian Alvarez of 50 gold rookie from Merlin Chrome, get in touch. Enzo Fernandez, the nice vintage refractor. Are the Ghouls selling well? Saw a base card going for like a tenner or something. There's a refractor autograph of Arda Güler, 224.
Okay.
In an auction. Very healthy considering he's been injured. Rooney Barge, who scored that nice Panenka to bring Copenhagen into the final round of the European Cup qualifiers. Good stuff. In terms of what's on eBay, I thought this was an interesting one. Instead of looking at sales, do you want to see some of the stuff that's on eBay at the highest price of any Murden?
Okay.
At the minute, just to show you the top end of the market.
What's going on up there?
What's going on up there, yeah. So we got the Grail, Haaland Grail card.
Erling Haaland.
6 of 9.
Okay.
A Renaissance Mbappe. Someone was asking $1,500.
That's of 10.
Of 10. Samuel Illing Jr. Superfractor, 1 of 1.
Do we rate him? Do we know anything about him?
English youngster for Juventus. I don't really know much about him. I don't really trust any young players coming through under Max Allegri, personally. Allegri ball does not suit dynamic young talented players. There's some cases
of blasters.
Blaster case. 1,200, 1,150.
Wowzer, doing it again.
Hidden Gems.
Yeah, super short print.
Super short print. Julian Alvarez.
Match ball rookie autos.
Nice.
1 of 1 Chris Smalling.
Hmm.
That's a card you get and it's going to haunt you for life. You hit that and you're like, it's 1 of 1.
Yeah.
It's Roma. It's worth $700. And then you get an offer for $500, you turn it down. A few months down the line, you're in the gutter taking $80. That's what happens.
Look at this.
People get in trouble with 1 of 1 sometimes.
Artigula Rose Gold.
That's pretty nice.
Rose Gold Shimmer. That's a very nice card.
Can I just say, like, across the board, looking at these cards, I think it looks great. I'm excited to, like, open it and get into it.
Yeah.
Get involved. But they look great. They do. And I love the numbers being on the front.
Hmm.
I'm a big fan. Some people might say it takes away from the aesthetics or whatever, but I don't think so. I think it looks great. Stick them numbers at the front.
It's the under 21 insert.
It's a good image. A lot of match balls. I see a Benzema match ball. Seeing all sorts.
So, good.
Big thumbs up.
That seems to be going well.
Let's see what it's like in hand, Jason.
Okay, what else? Sorry, I'm losing track of my tabs here. I've got a lot of tabs open.
Come on.
Women's Chrome releases this Wednesday.
Okay. Just after the World Cup has ended. So there's a lot of interest, newfound interest in the women's game.
Yeah.
People itching to get involved, I suppose.
I believe we've gone through the checklist when the checklist first came out. So I don't want to run over old ground. Lyon are in this where they weren't in it last year. Ada Hegerberg, who won the first ever Ballon d'Or, women's Ballon d'Or, is here as a rookie.
Okay.
And so what's your take on Ada Hegerberg? So she have a rookie logo? She's probably 15 years into professional career, won a Ballon d'Or 3 years ago.
It's tough. Obviously, they're kind of saying this is her first premium card rookie logo.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. And like, to a degree, I guess that's kind of okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's right, you know, whatever. But obviously, the idea, a rookie should be like a young up-and-comer and not a person that's been around. I think it's a very complex
situation.
I don't love it.
Okay. If you were
in charge,
would she have a rookie logo?
No.
But
I don't know what you would do, because obviously I don't know. Probably not. No. I feel like there's enough young talent in the women's game.
Yeah.
And I feel like women's chrome in future is going to kind of stay hot for a while, because I feel like with so much more investment in the sport, we're going to see so many rookies coming through, because like same thing that's basically happened with Barcelona and Spain is like they weren't obviously a women's football powerhouse for a long time and then it kind of caught up. So I feel like that's going to happen across the board. So because of that, I think Chrome sets year on year should probably be filled with rookies.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense?
I agree. I think the talent production is only going to get
better,
more and more prolific, and to a higher and higher level. I think in terms of the rookie logo for Hegerberg and also for somebody else,
they had it for Reynard,
Wendy Reynard, like, who's just the word, if you look at the word veteran in the dictionary, it's Wendy Reynard. And I think a good rule of thumb is, if you didn't give Wendy Reynard a rookie logo, would anybody say anything? No. If you do, will somebody say something? Yes. So but just, all. You know.
Because there is good rookies in it. Like, there's no really...
Yeah, there are rookies. We don't need to have...
All this.
All this 36-year-olds with rookie logos.
No, it's not necessary.
No, because it also, I think, is a little bit like, oh, this just started when Topps started making cards for it.
Yeah.
Do you know?
And it's like, they have stickers or whatever. They have stuff.
Yeah.
Or whether, if depending on what league they're in, they might have stuff from the States. So, yeah.
Mm.
Don't love it. I understand the idea of like, oh, we can technically put a rookie logo on this and it'll make the product a bit better, but da da da. But it's like, no one, I don't think anyone's getting excited going, it's a Wendy Reynard rookie.
No.
It's her rookie. Nobody it's not. Is. It's not her rookie 101. It's not. No one cares. Let first chrome mean something, you know?
Yeah. Other than that, though, I am excited to, coming off the back of the World Cup, I'm excited to open women's chrome, chasing some Katie McCabe, Lone Bird colour.
I'm very excited. Checklist. I'm excited.
So that's on Wednesday. There's Hobby and there's Blaster configurations as well.
And we're going to shoot out an email today or tomorrow.
Oh.
To anyone during the World Cup that had actually bought the... The women's knockout bundle sets that we did. We said anyone that was on that is going to be on a pre-order list for women's chrome. So we're going to send that out probably tomorrow, I think would be more.
Okay.
A short. So we're going to send a little pre-order link for them for some women's chrome.
Topps UK are putting blaster boxes in game digital stores.
Whoa, so blaster boxes? Can we get them in Northern Ireland or no?
I'm not sure.
Fascinating.
I'm not sure. Some of our friends, I'm sure, in the north can tell us.
Hmm.
So that's pretty much all I had for Hobby HQ this week.
Yeah, the products, the various products.
I'm sure there's other stuff going on. I'm sure people can tell us. I was thinking on Thursday we'll do a Q&A show.
Just so people can help us.
Just so everyone can kind of catch us up on what's been going on and where people's heads have been at. But it feels appropriate to go right from Hobby HQ about Women's Chrome into your football week about the World Cup final.
Hmm.
Women's World Cup final was on Sunday morning, 11 o'clock our time, at night, I believe, in Australia. And Spain are world champions.
Whoa.
After defeating England 1-0, a singular goal from Olga Carmona. A nice goal it was as well.
Very nice.
And like a lot of finals, not a particularly exciting affair outside the context of it being a final.
Okay. You know, I thought it was a good game.
Did you?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it as well.
Oh,
I just mean,
it wasn't like
a lot of finals are like that, where it's like, if this wasn't
a final
on paper, it's not an amazing game, but in context, it's very exciting.
Yeah.
Basically, I mean, it wasn't 3-2 to somebody.
Yeah, but it was good.
It was very good. Spain basically got the early goal and held onto the ball extremely well for the rest of the game.
Bon Mati was unbelievable.
She can do it all.
Do everything.
The England manager, Serena Wiegman, who had been mostly immune from criticism for the entire tournament, and indeed for her entire tenure as England manager with winning the Euros and all that stuff, was slightly criticised for taking off Alessia Russo and Rachel Daly just at half time. Maybe making a change slightly too early, or I don't know, making the wrong change, or who knows. I would say this is the first game of the tournament where those absences that we talked about for England at the start of the tournament is the first time really
you noticed it.
Mary Earpstein, goalkeeper, score or save the penalty, which is very dramatic always,
of course.
And it seemed like maybe they'd get back into it.
A lot of gamesmanship from Lucy Browns.
Yeah, but then they didn't get back into it.
They didn't.
The
Spanish looked more likely to get the second goal.
Yes.
As the game went on. The left back, genuinely, Olga, was unbelievable, I think, all game, attacking and defending.
Yes.
Obviously got the goal. That always helps. But she looked really, really, really good.
And she had a moment after the final whistle where she ran over and celebrated with her mother and her brother. Her mother and her brother, who had just found out that her father had passed away during the game. And when she scored, she had lifted up her shirt to send a message of solidarity to a friend of hers whose mother had just passed away. And then, kind of cruel ironies of cruel ironies, her mother and her brother, who very, very touching to kind of allow her to have her moment.
Mm.
I was listening to that kind of
the psychology of not
the psycho- her, yeah, that's like, what is that?
Yeah.
That's so common. If I was them, I would have probably just like fainted with emotional stress, like. But that was obviously
something she didn't
need. A terrible tragedy. But what a goal.
Yeah, what a goal.
What
a performance from Spain as well, because obviously they lost 4-0 to Japan.
Yeah.
They grew into the tournament, you could say, but it was like, I think England were the favourites on paper, and it kind of looked like they would have too much, because although they weren't particularly remarkable in the tournament, there was definitely like moments where they just looked better than everyone else.
England.
The England, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I expected it to be more of a contest than it turned out to be.
Yeah.
But I'm happy that Spain won, mainly because we predicted Spain to win the tournament.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
And they're in all of the products, the Barcelona team and the Spanish.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Young player of the tournament was Salma Paruelo for Spain, Barcelona rookie.
Was she tipped pre-tournament by Jason in his preview? She might have been.
What can I say?
What can you say?
Bon Mati won the golden ball. And the interesting thing is, the other side of Spain's victory is that the likes of Salma Paruelo probably would not have been playing in the World Cup had the 15 players not rebelled against the Federation and head coach Jorge Vilda after the Euros. And the players all through the tournament did not celebrate with the coach, very much excluded. There was some excruciating footage of him celebrating on his own, essentially trying to join in the celebrations after the match and being ignored to the point where he then faked like an injury, like, oh, I've done my ankle, I have to wander off on my own,
gotta get out of here.
And he was supported all through the controversy with the rebels by the president of the Spanish Federation, Luis Rubiales, and Rubiales then manhandled a lot of the Spain players in the celebrations and culminated with grabbing Jenny Hermoso by the head and kissing her on the lips.
Very bad.
Seemingly kind of unprompted. And
just going for it.
Yeah.
Kissed them all on the cheeks, Bart, except for her.
Mm.
Any of the slightly shorter girls in the Spanish team, he made sure to pick up as he hugged. Yeah. Every one of them. Very strange. He also, I don't know if you've seen this, the footage when they scored the goal.
No, I didn't.
So he was in the crowd beside the Royals.
Yeah.
The Spanish Royals.
Yeah.
I think it'd be better for you to live witness it.
Okay.
I might try to find it.
What am I looking up?
Put his name.
Yeah.
And no. Oh yeah. I was gonna go Twitter. But yeah. Do during it probably pop up. Wait, see, all the kissing is the main thing. Say goal celebration. Put in goal celebration.
Doesn't seem like it's been overshadowed.
Oh, let me find it. Can you spell his name for me?
Yeah. R-U-B.
Oh, it's Rubial. Is it?
Yeah, Rubiales, yeah. Just while Enzo's doing that, I'll talk about the Spanish victory. I think Spain have set a new standard, just like they did in 2010 in the men's game. I think this Spain team has set a new standard for what technical ability looks like in the women's game. There are moments from the game where England, who are the more physical team than Spain, and the bigger team, are attempting to win the ball back, and the Spain players are pinging it around in triangles. They're showing amazing control, amazing technique, amazing composure. And I said before the tournament that maybe this was like a Spain 2010 moment where Barcelona are preeminent in the game and that can bleed into the national team and they can kind of set a new standard in the game. And I think that came to pass. Obviously, that was not an original thought when I said it. Other people had observed it. But it was very exciting to see. Even Alexia Putellas got onto the pitch for about 10 minutes towards the end of the game. And I think Spain were deserved winners. England, obviously, bitterly disappointed, but it's their first Women's World Cup final. It's Spain's first Women's World Cup, and I have an amazing collection of statistics here FIFA published after the match. It's about the World Cup in general. Here are some things about the World Cup. Spain are the fifth nation to win the Women's World Cup after the USA, who have won it four times, Germany, who have won it twice, and Norway and Japan, who have both won it once. What else we got here? They're only the second nation to have won both the Men's and Women's World Cup. The other nation is Germany. Spain are now the current FIFA Under-17, Under-20 and Senior World Cup champions, and they're the first nation to hold all three titles at the same time. The only other nation to win all three titles is Japan.
Pause there.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
If you go up now on that, Jason, you're going to see...
Up on my running order here?
Yeah, I couldn't find the video. The video has been like disabled and removed.
Okay.
From Twitter, but that was his goal celebration. Oh, that was his...
That is...
That was his celebration. So people said... People were like, that celebration mixed with the kissing... If he does that on the biggest stage, what does he do behind closed doors?
This guy's not great.
Not good.
You kind of start to see why he...
Supported the manager. The
coach, yeah.
Not good.
So the Spanish Federation and organization were...
Like, big thumbs down, Spanish players.
Big thumbs up. Big thumbs up. It's one of those things where it's...
Horrible.
Horrible. It's a horrible situation for everyone to be in. It's horrible for the women who are on strike and who should have been at the World Cup. Mm. But then the other side, if you're being like a cold... You've been like a cold-hearted bastard. You say, well, like, what they probably wouldn't have won.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, anyway. They'd only won one match. Spain had only ever won one match at the FIFA Women's World Cup prior to winning it this year. This was their first clean sheet of the knockout stage when it mattered. Let me see. The Golden Boot was won by Hinata Miyazawa, who scored 5 goals for Japan. She's the second Japanese player to win the Golden Boot. Aitana Bonmatí, who is surely going to win the Ballon d'Or, she's just obviously the best player in the world for me, is now the third European player to win the Golden Ball at the World Cup. And it was the highest scoring Women's World Cup in history, 164 goals.
Oof.
And the total attendance across the 2023 finals was nearly 2 million people. 1,978,274.
Average of 31,000 per match.
What a tournament.
Unbelievable. Big success. And big Ireland, success. Ireland being in it as well.
Massive.
Class.
Yeah. I had a great time.
Yeah. Wonderful.
So, let's do it all again in 4 years. That's what I say.
I'm into it.
And in the meantime, we have Women's Chrome coming out, and then the tragically delayed... Donruss
World Cup.
We did see. Did you see the Jenny Hermoso National Landmarks?
No.
So Panini just put out
a little tease to remind everyone. Don't
forget about it, because I know we're late, but.
But it's still coming.
This is the for Spain, obviously. Jenny Hermoso, you get the Matador there with the bull. You get the paella. You get the Sagrada Familia Cathedral there in Barcelona. That's very fast. Cool.
Do you think we're gonna get a Katie McCabe?
I don't know. I don't know what we're going to get for Ireland in terms of inserts, but just
come on, you can have so much fun. I reckon they'll do it. The only national landmarks in existence of an Irish person is in UFC, Conor McGregor.
Oh,
he has a national landmarks,
right? And so Ireland. they have
someone in house that's like, that'll be fun.
They have the landmarks.
That's true, but like, they're from the same area.
Mm. But it's national landmarks.
True.
So it could be anything.
I think you got to do it.
Hopefully they've snuck us in there.
See, 1 hour ago, Fabrizio Romano gave a here we go.
For what?
For Man City.
Okay.
You don't
Jeremy
know
Doku?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's mad.
Yeah. Dig out your Jeremy Doku rookies, everyone. Everyone who went in hard after that one performance of Belgium in the Euros. Your time has come.
Their club statement on Greenwood. So I'm just...
You're just catching up?
Just catching up.
So, I think what we'll do is... We'll leave it there, because on Thursday we're back into the club game. I think that was a solid kind of episode, if I can say that on air. Happy enough to do that, and we'll catch up with all the goings on in the club game.
Oh yeah,
in the next couple of episodes.
I love that.
All right,
Q&A on Thursday.
Q&A on Thursday. Do send in. I'll be putting out posts and stuff, gathering up questions. But if you want to get yours in early, you can send in on Twitter DM. Instagram DM, email, whatever. Send in your questions, suggestions, comments, whatever your hobby kind of thoughts are at the moment. Send them in and we'll talk about them all on Thursday. Okay, have a good week, everyone.
See you, Jason.